McKinney was beaten, and they had to give help there. And they finally found the open man. They're playing really good basketball.
Curry! He tuned up Otto Porter and hit the jumper.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. The Warriors go into D.C. and beat the Wizards by 8. They also have a secret meeting with a certain someone in D.C. and get ready to take on the Boston Celtics on Saturday. All that's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. The Warriors beat the Wizards 126-118 in D.C. on TNT. It was a damn good game. I don't know if it was a wire-to-wire win. The Warriors led most of it, but the Wizards just would not go away. I was actually really impressed with them, especially because they've been such a punching bag, at least for the jokes, most of the season. The record also isn't great. I mean, it's understandable. No one's made fun of them incorrectly. You know, no one's made fun of them while they're playing well. There's a reason why they have been the punching bag or the punchline of so many jokes this year. But I was really impressed with them tonight, last night, whatever. Why am I even going to act like, again, like I'm not recording this right after the game, even though you won't get it till Friday? So I was impressed with them tonight. They played well. Bradley Beal, the final stat line wasn't great. He did struggle later in the game, but to start, I'm impressed with him. He looks a lot better without John Wall, if I'm being honest. And I know that's, sucks for John Wall, I guess, but it's just the truth. He plays a lot better without John Wall, and they play like much more like a team without John Wall. And I know that stinks for Wizards fans because he's about to start making, $35+ million a year. So, whoops. Anyways, let's just jump into the game. I'll get to some of the more specific stuff in a minute. But right out the gates, DeMarcus Cousins was attacking Thomas Bryant, who, by the way, very impressed with Thomas Bryant as well. I mentioned him on yesterday's podcast just about the season that he's having and that he's playing well. And, he was a former second-round pick of the Lakers, and they ended up waiving him this year, and Wizards picked him up, and he's played well for them. Scored 14 tonight, showed a lot more skill than I remember. I mean, that jumper was wet. It was legit too. It's not one of these fluky games where a guy knocks down a couple of J's. He can do it all, and he's a large body as well, but not as large as DeMarcus Cousins, who was taking it to him early. It was a nice little battle between the two. Cousins, one of the best parts about just the fact that he was going at him is you're starting to see some of the rush shake off, and you're starting to see the skill on the post and driving to the hoop and things like that. The smoothness of his game, at least as smooth as you can be being a incredibly physical player like him, you're starting to see it come back. And slowly but surely it'll get back to what we remember to an extent. Obviously, I don't know if anyone can ever come back to what they actually were before an Achilles tear, but maybe, we'll see. Who knows? But bottom line, you're starting to see more of the skill that we saw throughout his career, and it's going to be a slow return because, again, he's coming back from an Achilles injury, from not playing basketball for almost an entire year, and this is only his third game back. One of the positives about his game, not only that you're starting to see some of the skill, you also have been bumping up the minutes each game. In game one, he only played 15. Part of that was because he fouled out, but the other part is he probably wouldn't have played another more than 2 minutes after that because they were going to take him out. They were limiting his play. In game two, he was up to 22, which was nice. It was good to see. Game three, he's up to 24. It's good to see it progress like this quickly. where I thought it might be a week of, you know, right around 15, 16, and then reevaluate and bump him up. But no, they're just letting him go. And he's responded well. Tonight was his best game as far as scoring is concerned. Dropped 17, had a couple of assists, was solid on the glass, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and 1 nice block of Thomas Bryant. And it's hard for me. I know I wanted to talk more about the game, but I just start going off about Cousins. So let me get back to the game. The Wizards were pushing the pace early. You saw that. I mean, you saw it early, but they were able to do it throughout the game. And it definitely affected the Warriors. It worked. They were up to the task to push the pace and try and match the pace of the Warriors. And the way they were running, the Wizards were, it was getting them a lot of open looks from three. Now, they didn't finish great from three. I believe they shot 35%, going 15 of 42. And the Warriors shot 35%, going 7 of 20. So neither teams were great, but considering the fact that the Wizards hit twice and more than twice as many threes as the Warriors, that kept them in the game. That definitely kept them in the game. As I said, the Warriors were giving up open looks from three. The Wizards got up early. I think it was like 22-17, 21-17. Steve Kerr takes a timeout. KD and Draymond come back just locked in defensively. KD was flying around everywhere defensively after that timeout. He was going off. I thought Alphonso McKinney in the first quarter, he did a good job of using his height and leaping ability around the rim to score, and he used it well. He kind of played a Jordan Bell type role tonight where he didn't take any jumpers. All his points were around the rim, but he was still getting it done. He's a tall, long, incredibly athletic player. So, I mean, it was good to see him have as good a game as he did without having to, you know, shoot jumpers, without having to rely on his three-point ball or anything. He ended the game with 8 points, 6 rebounds, 2 of them offensive, obviously, 4 or 5 from the field. So he was efficient. He was energetic. He was all over the place. I think he had 3 dunks tonight. So he was playing by the rim and finishing very well. Golden State, by winning this game, it's their 7th consecutive road win in 6 consecutive seasons. They're the first team to ever do that. I know it's kind of a niche record, so to speak, because it's this many games in this many seasons. But either way, shout out them. Like I said, breaking records every game. In the second quarter, some of the things I noticed, back to Cousins, there are still times where he's hesitant to shoot. And maybe that will change throughout the rest of the season. But there are times where he's got a window to take a mid-range jumper or drop in a three. And he just, I don't know. He's still hesitant, but he's still getting back to playing shape and playing mentality also. So maybe it's something that'll change, or maybe it's one of these things where, you know, he's also here with the Warriors trying to rehab his image and rehab his, I don't know, not just off the court, his image on the court. So maybe he doesn't want to be jacking as many shots as he normally would, but that's probably overthinking it. I'm sure he'll get back to normal confidence and taking the jumpers that we expect him to take. Looney and Cousins got some time together in the second, which was interesting. When they first did it, it seemed weird. But then, first off, it worked out. They played well together. But also, I know Looney's not a three-point shooter, but is it really that much different as far as spacing's concerned than when Cousins and Draymond are on the floor together? I don't know. Just a thought. Wiz continued to play with great energy. And, man, Thomas Satoransky was giving Steph some problems on offense while Steph was on defense. Basically, Satoransky was getting buckets on Steph. And I don't know. He's a solid player. He's a 6'7 point guard who can knock down the three, plays with great energy. He's a solid defender. Not great, but when you have that kind of size at the point, you know, it works. It gives you an advantage over a 6'3 point guard like Steph. So Satoransky was giving Steph trouble, but don't worry, Steph played just fine. He ended with 38 points. No big deal. As I said, Draymond and KD were great on defense, swarming all over the place. They really, I wouldn't say, you can't really turn a game around in the first, but after that timeout that I mentioned, they came out and were swarming, kind of changed the vibe, I guess. In the third, they were still giving up some wide open threes. One other good thing that I noticed from Cousins was it's not just that he's been running in transition, because when you hear that, you think, oh, fast breaks and, you know, quick buckets and this and that. And yeah, that's part of it. But for him, something that he's been doing over his first three games is running in transition to get early position, kind of rim running, so to speak, but more so to get early position on the block where he can get buckets. And tonight was his best night doing that. He was moving for sure, and he would also get position on smaller players. So we saw a glimpse of that tonight. One of the things that's really going to benefit the Warriors, especially when it comes to playoff times and, you know, you're trying to slow down a run or something, Rockets start going off or whoever. Throw it, get a switch on Cousins, him on a smaller guy, throw it down to him, let's get an easy bucket. And he got a lot of easy buckets tonight doing that. There was a sequence where there were at least three different ridiculous travels by the Warriors. You know, one where Steph goes up for a shot, starts to get defended, so he dribbles down, and, you know, obviously that's a travel. KD had a couple of bad travels, a couple of bad turnovers, but it was, I don't know, it was, the travels were ugly. The turnovers were pretty ugly also. The Warriors finished with 15, which isn't bad, but they've had a stretch of games where they finished with 10 or fewer, and that's when they're at their absolute best. I mean, obviously, because of the way this team plays. If you can't turn them over, you have no chance. You have no chance. In the fourth, to start the fourth, the Warriors were up 12, and in about 3 minutes, the Wiz cut it down to 3. Part of that was they had Sam Decker playing kind of a small ball center role, but the problem with that is Warriors were just getting boogie on Sam Decker and getting buckets just about every single time. So that's one of the things that the Warriors have that other teams don't have, is they can go small ball with Draymond at the center, who can actually defend. Sam Decker cannot defend Boogie at all. Not a lot of people can defend Boogie either, but, you know, just to be fair to Sam Decker. But by going small, the Wiz cut the lead 12 to 3 in 3 minutes, and we had a game. We had a game. Livingston had a very nice fourth quarter. Because that squad and to start the second and fourth is Andre, Sean, Clay, Draymond, Boogie. And so to start the fourth, that's when that run started, when they closed it to 3. Sean Livingston did a great job of kind of helping shut the door, so to speak, on the Wizards. He only went 1 of 2, but he knocked down all 3 of his free throws, had a couple of assists, was defending well, and he was getting the ball to Boogie. He also had a couple of bad turnovers while forcing passes, but at the same time, he also benefited from a couple of forced passes as well. So it's hard to kind of, I don't know. Are you upset that he got those turnovers, or are you happy that he, you know, made some slick passes for buckets? You got to take it both. You got to take both the good and the bad. The headliner of tonight's game was obviously Steph. The Warriors didn't shoot well from 3 at all, and they didn't shoot a lot of 3s. They took 20 3s and only made 7, and that was in large part due to the Wizards, who defended pretty damn well, or at least defended the 3-point line well. That opened up a lot of drives for Steph, who was 14 of 24, only 2 of 8 from 3, but he did end with 38 points, 3 assists, 4 rebounds. Steph was able to get to the rim tonight. I think he had 3 different and ones, and that's basically what helped win the game for the Warriors. They were able to get to the rim and get buckets, and that was huge, especially on a night when they could not knock down 3s and weren't getting the opportunities to. KD, 1 of 4, Draymond, 1 of 2, DeMarcus, 1 of 1, Clay, 1 of 4, Steph, 2 of 8. So between Steph, Clay, and KD, they were 4 of 16, 25%, not very good. But KD was also able to drive, knock down a couple mid-range jumpers, but I feel like he had 3 or 4 dunks tonight as well. So they were getting to the rim at ease. So the Wizards were selling out to stop the three, which they did, but the Warriors are more than just a three-point shooting team. Stick around. Going to take a quick break, come back, talk more about this game, play a little bit of post-game sound. That's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome in. Well, you know what? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. Charles T. Hamilton, your host. What's happening? Warriors beat the Wizards 126-118. 8-point win for the Dubs. As I mentioned, Steph played great in a different way because the Wizards were selling out to stop the three. KD had a good game as well. Klay Thompson did not, and I have to go back to it now, of just the Klay Thompson watch. Is he going to start stringing good games together? Because he was 4-13, 1-4 from three, 9 points. He did have 5 assists, but it's not a very good game for Klay offensively. You know, he still defends, still does other things well, but it's still not all the way back. It's still not all the way back to normal Klay Thompson. He's had a stretch now where he'll go, you know, one really good game and then another good game. So I'm back on my Klay Thompson watch, and that's something I'm just going to have to continue to do. I thought it was over after, you know, the 10 consecutive threes against the Lakers, but it's not. It's not. Just going to have to keep an eye on it moving forward. Can he bounce back against the Celtics? Hopefully so. Hopefully so, because they're probably going to need it. They're probably going to need it. As I mentioned, DeMarcus Cousins ended up playing 24 minutes tonight, which is a great sign moving forward. Steve Kerr even saw a better sign moving forward. Here's what Steve had to say about DeMarcus Cousins.
Well, he just looks like he's in better condition each game, and he never looked tired to me. Even when I took him out, he didn't look tired. So it's been a really good progression for him. Did some great things tonight. You know, we still have to kind of figure out the right balance in terms of getting him the ball inside and keeping the flow going. I thought there was a stretch in the fourth quarter where we probably forced it a little too much. But you can see, you know, when he gets down there, it's pretty tough to stop him. And he had a couple of plays in the game where he sealed his guy and we threw the ball over the top. And nothing anybody could do. So it's amazing that he's on our team, really, and that we have this this new weapon to use. And he's been great. I mean, just he loves playing with our guys and vice versa. And we just got to keep trying to get better.
There's Steve on Boogie Cousins and just how great it is to have him on the team and how amazing it is that he's on the team. Boogie was asked in a post-game interview if he made the right decision. So here's Boogie with Kareth Burke after the game.
How do you feel you're coming along, and how do you feel about your decision to be a Warrior?
Yeah, I'm coming along good, and I think I made the right choice.
Thank you so much.
So it looks like a mutual love between the Golden State Warriors and DeMarcus Cousins, who finished tonight's game with 17, 6 rebounds, and 3 assists. And you can see tonight that there's going to be games where he'll probably be the most important player on the floor, the best player on the floor, or, you know, finish with the best stat line, however you want to look at it. There's also going to be games where he'll just be all right. Like the last game against the Lakers, he was fine. Tonight, there were moments where he dominated, and Steve Kerr mentioned it. There were times where he would run the floor, seal someone off in great position, finish the bucket, and there's literally nothing you can do about it. So I think we're going to see a lot more of that moving forward, especially as he continues to knock the rust off and continues to get in better conditioning. It's great that he's been able to do what he's done so far, but the guy hasn't played basketball in almost a year. He's going to get an even better condition coming up. So I'm looking forward to that. I know the Warriors are too. You should as well. Going to take one last break, come back, talk about a secret meeting the Warriors had in D.C. Look ahead to this Celtics game. That's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's up? Sup? Warriors were in D.C. for the game against the Wizards, and this is the trip where any West Coast team would, well, any West Coast championship team, excuse me, any West Coast team that won the finals would go visit the White House. And as we all know, for very valid reasons, in my opinion, they refuse to do so. They don't want to. I don't think they were invited this year either, knowing how the last invitation went. So the Warriors ended up having a private meeting with Barack Obama, former president of the United States, in D.C. And it was something that they had planned to keep quiet and did not really want to talk about until I believe a security guard actually Instagrammed out a picture of the event. And the Warriors weren't super happy with it. Steve Kerr was asked about it after the game, and he had an interesting response. Here's what Steve had to say.
Were you happy the guys got a little time?
Was I happy?
Obama.
Yeah. I was happy.
Were you part of that group?
Yes. No. That's private. So appreciate the
it's
question.
It's on,
doesn't mean I have to answer it. Thank you.
So if you couldn't hear it, Steve Kerr was asked if he was happy that the guys got to spend some time with Barack Obama, and he said yes, and then he was asked if he was part of the event, and Steve Kerr said that's private, and that's it. So it seems like it's something they want to keep quiet, so to speak, or not make into a big thing. Here's a couple of responses of the players being asked about it. It sounds like it was a PR tactic to just try and keep it, you know, keep it quiet, not make it a scene or anything. Draymond Green said it was good. Private team meeting, team event, it was good. Steph Curry, when asked how it came to be, he said, I have no idea. KD, when asked what it was like, he said it was amazing. And then DeMarcus Cousins just said private team event. So clearly they're not trying to make a big deal out of it. This is something that I'm sure, well, I know, especially after some of the social media postings, that these guys were very excited about it, but they're not trying to make it a whole deal of we went to see Barack and not, you know, this other guy. So, interesting thing that happened. Not much to it, but definitely wanted to pass it along because it wasn't very publicized either. When it was found out, it wasn't very publicized. So, I also hope this security guard who, you know, messed up and put it out there doesn't get in too much trouble because, I don't know, I'd be pretty psyched about meeting Barack too. But anyways, moving on, the Warriors are taking on the Celtics on Saturday in Boston. This is, you know, I don't know about the biggest game. It's a big game, though. We've talked about, at least coming into this year, that the Celtics were probably their biggest threat in the NBA. But the Celtics have slipped a little. They're 30-18, which is still good, but they've had their struggles this year and still trying to find how to incorporate all the wings that they have, trying to make Gordon Hayward back to being Gordon Hayward. Kyrie is trying to say, you know, faux intelligent things and look smart for the cameras. Man, he bugs me. Kyrie's trying to figure out how to take shots at the young guys on his team without taking shots at them. I thought that, oh, I called LeBron and apologized to him was so lame. Was so whack, dude. Such a fake humble move to take a shot at the young guys on his team. And then earlier in the year when he's like, you know, we just don't have that 13, 14-year veteran on our team to teach us how hard it is. You got Al Horford on your team, one of the most respected players in the NBA. Just this faux intelligent bullshit that he spits is so annoying. And if I was Al Horford, man, I would have been pissed. But anyways, back to, no, you know what? Not back to it. If I'm Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier, I'm saying, hey, Kyrie, man, we went to the Eastern Conference Finals without you, dude. We were within a game of getting to the finals without you. Like, man, go read a book or something, dude. Anyways, Warriors taking on the Celtics. It'll be an interesting matchup. Boogie taking on a couple of legit centers in Boston between Al Horford and Aaron Baines. I think those will be the best centers that he'll have played against so far in his four games. And then just the rest of the guys, it'll be interesting to see because even though Boston has struggled, they have the personnel to bother some of the Warriors. They have the length at every position. They have some tenacious defenders. Marcus Morris is having an incredible year. So it should be a good one. It's the Saturday night primetime. I don't know, biggest game of the year, whatever. I don't know, call it whatever you want, but it should be good. League pass picks for tonight. We got 10 games, and there's some good ones. Toronto at Houston should be good, but man, I don't want to get into my Harden thing right now. He's really good. Can be tough to watch, but should be a good game between Toronto and Houston. And interesting to see if Harden can keep it up. And then for the second game, I'll go with Minnesota at Utah. Minnesota's been playing better. Beat the Lakers last night. Let's see. And can Utah continue to, I don't know, try and be the team that we thought they were going to be this year? So those are the picks. Toronto at Houston, Minnesota at Utah. Everyone check them out. Check out the Warriors game Saturday night. And I will be back with more of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.